there's no better feeling than a personal win. And the State Farm Personal Price Plan can help you do just that. Talk to a State Farm agent today to learn how you can bundle and save with the Personal Price Plan. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. Prices are based on rating plans that vary by state. Coverage options are selected by the customer. Availability, amount of discounts and savings, and eligibility vary by state.
Welcome to my travel podcast, Life's a Beach. Every week I invite a special guest to take us on a journey together to their favourite holiday destinations and to reveal their top travel tips and tales. We wake up with her most mornings. She's a super broadcaster who's not afraid to bring the sass. Welcome on board, Naga Monchetti. This is the final boarding call for Naga Monchetti. Naga Monchetti! Naga Monchetti! Naga! Naga! Welcome on board, Naga.
Oh, it's lovely to be here. Thank you for the glass of fizz.
Oh, thanks for flying Alan Air.
It's beautiful.
It's great.
Loads of leg room and a nice big comfy seat.
Well, put your seat back, love, and there'll be some complimentary nuts coming in a minute. Or pretzels now, because people have nut allergies. We've got to be right on.
Oh, no, I like nuts.
Yeah, so do I. Salted or dry roasted?
Oh, always dry roasted. I like a bit of crust on my nuts.
Yeah. Don't we all? Oh dear. I think I've met me match. Now listen, you are perfect for this podcast because your mother's Indian.
Yes.
And your dad's Mauritian.
Correct.
And you were born in Streatham.
Indeed. So, no, I was born in South London Hospital in Balham. But I grew up in Streatham.
Oh, you need to change that on your Wikipedia page.
Yeah, don't trust Wikipedia.
No. Do you know they said my dad was Lionel Blair?
But I thought that was fact. It works for me, Alan. Yeah.
You believe what you... Fake news is fake news. What's your check-in etiquette when you go to an airport? Do you go and get books? Is it a podcast when you're on your flight?
Do you watch a movie? I'm books. I always take a load of books.
Yeah.
I tried the Kindle thing. Because it's good for packing, but it's not the same.
It's another charger that you forget to pack.
I know. And also, I like seeing how far I've got in a book.
Yes.
Do you know what I mean? I like the satisfaction of just turning them over or having a bookmark in and saying, oh, yeah, I'm just about that far through and all that. So books.
I don't want to come across as a psychopath, but I'd like to break the spine of them. You know what I mean? You get some people like who treat them like an heirloom or something out of
it. It depends. Snap. A paperback, you have to snap.
Oh, of course,
snap the spine. But hardbacks, you never see them because they've always got the cover.
Oh right. Oh, I see.
So it was
neat. I can't afford the hardbacks, love.
You're travelling executive class, so you can pack as many as you like.
I suppose, and it is my airline.
Exactly.
I can take as many books as
I want.
Do
whatever you want. Just have a whole section for your library. You could have a library on the plane. Where is the library?
Oh, well, it's behind that curtain there. It was
lovely.
Like a play. I love having you on board now. It's like we've got a play. And then, so what kind of books? Because listen, obviously you deal with the news all the time. So can you relax? Do you relax or are you like still a bit... can you unwind on holiday?
Alan, look at me. I've got a glass of fizz. I've got some crusty nuts coming my way. I've laid back as you've told me to. I'm perfectly relaxed.
And you're looking very cute in your dungarees.
Then you, do you like them?
I really like
them. Shall
I
tell you a story about these dungarees? So I decided I was going to buy some dungarees because I haven't worn dungarees probably since I was about six, right? Yeah. And I thought I'm regressing, so I'm going to embrace that. Mm. And I bought two sets of dungarees. Are they pairs? I don't know. Two dungarees. And I bought these, which
I
love.
Pride of dungarees, I think they're called.
Pride of dungarees. Well, the second in the pride of dungarees were short, right? These are indigo, full length, rolled up, pretty cute. And the second were pale denim, and they were short dungarees, right? They were quite cool. And I put them on, and I'm very usually really confident about what I buy and what I wear. I know what suits me, I think, I'd like to think. And I thought, I'm not quite sure about these. So I went over to my husband, James, and said, what do you think? And he'd just come out of the shower and he looked at me. He bent over double. I won't even imitate the sound he made. And he went, "Oh, my God, you look like Humpty Dumpty." They went straight back in the bag and were returned. So I'm hoping I'm not channeling a children's character today.
No, no, no. There's no Humpty
Maybe
Dumpty
a children's go. Presenter, but that's
maybe
fine.
Rod, Jane and Freddie, maybe, but that's better
it's
than...
Fine. It's yeah, fine. It's fine. I can cope Dumpty. With this, but I'm glad you appreciate
oh,
it.
Oh, I love it. Love it. Now, because like, when you go abroad, can you relax and stuff? Because I imagine you're on a sun lounger and then you hear in the next village, like, a dam's broke and it's going to wash away the village. And you're like, wait a minute, get me microphone. I've got to go, hello, this is Naga, live on BBC. Can you relax?
I do. I'm very relaxed, generally. I'm relaxed. Really? Yeah, I'm relaxed when I'm doing my programme. Programmes. I'm very relaxed. Mm. But I will say I do take my earpiece with me whenever I travel. Just in case.
You're never off duty.
No, I'm you interested.
See, I'm always hilariously funny when I go on holiday. I just can't stop.
It's just know. Now you're not.
Shut it, Humpty Dumpty.
He's going to push me off the wall.
Ladies and gentlemen, just to let you know that Humpty Dumpty has had a big fall. He had a big fall. Someone pushed him off the wall. What kind of a traveller are you?
Very relaxed. You were asking about check-in.
Yeah.
So I don't believe in getting anywhere too early.
Okay.
I don't like the whole hanging around no. thing. But organised enough. Yeah. I don't like running. I've only ever once nearly missed a plane.
Oh, okay.
And that was very stressful. So, and that involved being kind of transferred on the buggy, you know, with the siren and
oh,
the flashing
no.
lights and everything like
and
that.
And everyone scowls at you as you come on.
Of course they
like,
do.
Hmm.
Yeah. Been waiting for you, have we? But no, I'm usually quite organised, but quite relaxed. I like to have a glass of something when
of
I get
course.
To the airport.
Yes,
because
yes.
time doesn't exist when you're flying,
I know,
obviously.
Yeah.
Very relaxed. I'm not a sun lounger person.
Really?
I don't do that. So one of the most... This sounds awful. One of the most boring holidays I had mm-hmm. was my honeymoon. Now, no, and oh. not for the reasons you may think, okay? The honeymoon side was fine.
Yes.
It was all good.
Mm, good.
What
glad
happened
to hear
is,
it.
Oh, I went to Mauritius. Oh, wow. And I'd only been to Mauritius from when I was a little girl. Well, yeah. actually, when I was about 12 or something. And I'd met on my dad's family. It was great. And so decided that I would show James Mauritius, my side, one of the sides of my family, my heritage. And we went, and it's obviously paradise. It's beautiful.
Oh, it's beautiful, yeah.
So we went there, and we stayed in a gorgeous hotel. And the second day, because I don't do beach holidays, I am a restless soul, I think
oh,
it's fair to say.
Because
so
I've
I need
seen
to be
your
active.
Instagram. There's one photo of you holding up a bike in front of the Eiffel Tower.
Yeah, that was the London to Paris bike ride
oh,
I did.
Oh, I thought you were vandalising it.
I did that too.
I'm going to throw it in the same.
Did that. I'm now banned from the Tour de Bell. And you don't even want to know what I did to Notre Dame. So I like to be active. So went on holiday and there's nothing to do. In Mauritius other than sit around.
I've been there. There isn't
it's beautiful.
Much. Beautiful, but yeah.
But not much. So I thought, I'll learn to water ski. Learned to water ski, and I am a real cold fish, so I hate the cold. Got into the water in Mauritius. Now it is a beautiful sea. It's in the Indian Ocean.
Ooh,
it's
yes.
warm. Not for me, it wasn't.
Oh.
So I get into the water on the second day, and I picked up water skiing brilliantly. Loved it. Thought getting a bit of exercise, a bit of exhilaration, some adrenaline going. Perfect. Got into the sea. Hung onto the pontoon and there were barnacles on the post underneath. Didn't realise, slashed my leg.
Oh no.
Decided not to tell anyone. Did my water ski round for about 15, 20 minutes. Came off blood gushing from my leg. Had to have like little mini stitches in it. Couldn't shower the leg for the rest of the honeymoon.
Oh,
couldn't
no.
do any more water sports. So literally had to sit on a beach or go to the tea plantation or whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I was a bit bored.
Oh, no.
And read a lot.
And you know what I'm thinking? This is me because I have a real shark fear. Blood in the water. Shark thinking, tasty meal.
I think we're all right in Mauritius.
How do you know there's no sharks there?
Well, shark didn't get me, so there wasn't a shark there.
But you sort of... I mean, there might have been sharks.
Yeah, there weren't.
You are a cool customer, aren't you? Yeah, I don't think we should ever go on holiday together because I think I'll probably do your head
in. The thing
in.
Is, no, you wouldn't. Because, Alan, you'd be perfect because what would happen is I'd get into the scrapes and yep. I'd have the blood gushing. Mm. I'd see the blood gushing, do my water sports and say, Alan, you jump in just yeah. before I jumped out. So if there were sharks there, got you.
Wouldn't they be full up eating me, wouldn't they? I once did a backstroke once in Corfu and I went into a ball of seaweed and I thought it was a shark's mouth. That's how my imagination works. My friend Melissa still laughs about it. He's screaming, get me out of here. It was a ball of seaweed. Anyway. Now, you love golf.
I do.
Why?
Because.
I don't get it. Listen, okay. I turn up at the links, is it called?
Well, they're links courses.
Yeah. Yeah. I've got me mauve V-neck. I've got me pink check slacks. Mm-hmm. I've got me cap. I've got me loafers. I change into the golf gear. What are we doing?
I thought you were in the golf gear already.
It's a joke, Nagger.
I told you you weren't funny. What do you do?
So tell me, what's enjoyable about it?
Well, it's all about you, for a start.
Okay.
So it is time to just spend working on a skill that's all yours. You can't blame anyone
no.
for a bad shot unless they're talking in your backswing. Mm. And the answer to that is my golf interrupting your conversation?
Oh, you would say that to people.
I said it just the other week.
Really?
Yes, I don't like people talking when I'm playing golf. Not when I'm taking my shot. It is sociable. You can play with absolutely anyone
yeah,
because
yeah.
of the handicap system. So yeah. they can be loads better than you or loads worse than you.
And can I ask what your handicap is?
6.8.
Is that good?
It's okay.
Okay,
it's
okay. Good. Okay.
It's okay. And you're outside for as long as you want. And you're just thinking and you're in the elements and you just think about your golf.
Oh, okay.
It's really good for kind of... And you have conversations with people that... So say I play golf with my husband.
Mm.
How often do you come home and say you're with your partner and you whack the telly on and you might chat for like 10, 15 minutes and then the telly's on?
Yeah.
If you're out on the golf course for 4 hours, you may not talk all the time, but you spend quality time together and you have the opportunity for conversations to breathe and lead to places that perhaps you wouldn't give time to if you're at home in front of the telly.
So probably more mental health than anything. It's good for the mental health.
Absolutely. Really, really good for it. Really good. And people, I know that, you know, my husband plays in a group of guys and that's a time often when guys talk about things that they wouldn't necessarily talk if they were just sitting over a drink.
Prostates, normally. I'm at that age now where we talk about prostates. Never used to be. We feel like you're going out on a Saturday. Oh, what's the state of your prostate?
Are you fine?
I'm fine, but I went to have it checked with my doctor who had been badgering me to get my prostate checked. And then he went, I'm going on holiday to the Maldives. Can it wait?
Well, that says good things about your prostate.
I suppose so. But I would have liked, you know, he'd been telling me to do it all the time.
You did get it done eventually.
Yes. Honestly, you could eat your dinner off it. Clean as a whistle. I don't even know if that's the right thing. But yeah, all good.
Sorry, my imagination was going mad then.
You see, if we were on the golf course, I'd be talking to my friends about this.
There you go.
What's your favourite golf course? Come on. Do you go all over the world to different golf courses?
I have been. I've been very lucky. I have been around the world and played golf. Favourite golf course? Scotland. I always go to Scotland. Glen Eagles is fantastic. Mm. It is fantastic. I would say just at this moment in time, and it changes a lot, I would say it's got to be a links course, so you're on the coast.
Oh, is that what links means?
Yeah,
oh,
I see. Traditionally it's on the coast and traditionally it was just left wild. So the sheep would be grazing the fairways and creating the fairways and they'd be...
They're
beautiful.
Nice.
Somewhere like Castle Stewart in Inverness is stunning. Rolporth Call in Wales is absolutely gorgeous. There's some beautiful courses in Suffolk. Mm. Just anywhere on the coast where you can just feel like you're away.
If I got into golf, I would probably like it by the seaside as well.
Yeah, beautiful.
Oh, my God, say you bump into Trump. Moving on. OK, now we had a revelation on here with Judge Rinder when he said he went on holiday with Susanna Reid. They went to Ibiza clubbing.
Can you imagine how much fun that would be?
Oh,
Susanna.
Yeah. I know. Well, I couldn't believe it. Have you ever gone away with a celebrity?
Do you know, I did do one trip to Bermuda
oh, yeah.
where there was Nick Knowles, Dennis Waterman, Michael Windsor, who's the hand of Basil Brush. And there were a few others. And that was a really interesting trip. It was a golf trip. That was really interesting, seeing how people got on with each other. There was Steve Coppell, ex-Crystal Palace. And, oh, it was a very, very funny trip. But I don't really have many celeb friends.
Really?
Well, don't feel sorry for me. We're all human. We all poop and fart. Don't have to be famous on telly to have a good time.
Do you know what? You don't need that many. Because if you have load of celebrity friends, it looks a bit eggy as well. As I was saying to Joan Collins just the other day. would you have a holiday with Dan Walker?
Why not?
Why not? Do you sometimes ask Carol what the weather's going to be like if you're going on holiday just to get the inside goss?
Do you know, I did that to Matt Taylor the other day because I was going sailing. So, you know, we can't go away anywhere.
No, I know.
I booked to go to Jersey, where I'd never been before. And I was going to go for 5 days. And at the time I was going to go, Manchester was on Jersey's amber list. Mm. So if you worked in Manchester or lived in Manchester, which I do for breakfast,
of course,
you would have to isolate for 5 days. So we were only going for 5 days, so I couldn't go. So I ended up booking this sailing trip. Yeah. I saw Matt Taylor. He was doing his weather forecast, and it was like 2 days before I was about to go, 85 mile per hour winds in the Isle of Wight.
Oh, no.
So I sent Matt...
You might have been blown into a country that was on the red list.
I could have been, couldn't I? So I look there, I'm presenting with Charlie, and he's looking at me just grinning because he'd seen the... he's like poking, looking at me, look at the... And I messaged Matt saying, is it really going to be that gusty and that windy? And he was, and I said, I'm going sailing. He said, and Matt's simple message to me was, we will all miss you. Kiss.
God knows where you would have ended up with the wind.
It was fine, though.
Yeah.
It was fine. It was an adventure.
Well, yeah, you like an adventure, don't
you?
I do. I mean, when I say we're dealing with the news all the time and everything, you know, I only get my news from Heat and Women's Own. So I have like a very, you know, quite narrow view of the world.
Did you know we're in the middle of a pandemic?
What?
Yes.
No.
Yes.
Oh, no. I thought it was my breath. That's why people were wearing masks.
Well, I didn't want to say, but I am really glad I'm a good 3 seats away from you, Alan.
If you look out of your windows to the left, you'll see the south coast of England. And if you look to the right, you'll see Nagamon Chetty being blown towards Ibiza.
Have you ever fallen foul to maybe having a delicacy, any tummy trouble or anything?
Yes. Who hasn't?
I know, I don't really know the ins and outs. I was just...
It was more outs.
What was it? Was it something? Did you feel funny as soon as you had it?
It's happened a lot.
Oh, really?
Yeah, because I'm not shy at trying new things.
Yeah, yeah.
Sometimes it's often it's the hotels. You stay in great hotels. You're better off with some of the street food than you are, because that's all hot, cooked straight there.
And you see it.
Nothing stored. Yeah, exactly.
Oh, there's a little tip.
I did have a scorpion when I was in China once, and that was fine. It's just crispy. Don't look so shocked. It's just crispy. I wouldn't eat it again.
Oh, scorpion. Were you worried about that biting your tongue or nipping your tongue?
Well, it had been deep fried, Alan. I think its days of nipping were over.
Well,
it was deep fried on a stick.
Oh, that poor scorpion. What did you make of China? Did you like China?
I loved China.
Do you know what? We do get a bad impression of China, but everyone who's been there says the people are so lovely, the food's great, everyone's welcoming. Did you find that really nice?
I had a mixed bag, I must say. I think you have very, very different experiences. Don't queue in China unless you're prepared to really stand your ground. I'd say that.
Oh, really?
Well, we British love to queue, don't we?
And
we like an organised queue.
Yeah.
Not necessarily what you get in China
all
the time. Yeah. But yeah, really friendly and really keen to like show you all the different dishes. Because I would never choose to have a Chinese takeaway or a Chinese meal here.
Okay.
But there I really enjoyed the food. Really enjoyed it. Because I just tried lots of different things that wouldn't be on traditional menus. It's like Indian food here. Yeah. You know, my mum's South Indian, my dad's Mauritian. Mm. And the food we eat is very, very different to what you typically get in takeaways here. Like I would never order an Indian takeaway here because the food I grew up with was so different.
Is it all fish curries?
There's a lot of fish, but it's vegetarian.
I went to Kerala there, and the best. I still dream about this fish curry I had.
And Goa. Goa's got great fish curries. Yes. Yeah, but vegetarian. Mainly vegetarian. My mum was brought up as a vegan.
Really?
Yeah. So when she came to this country, she had to learn to cook eggs, meat, fish. And so we always grew up on mainly vegetarian food with a bit of meat.
Yeah.
And my mum was never great at cooking meat. We used to call her fried chicken bullet chicken because we used to think it could kill you. Could throw it at someone and do serious damage.
Yeah.
She will kill me for that.
Where do you go for a bit of sexy time with your husband? Where's your most romantic destination? Is it Paris? Is it Rome?
Anywhere with soft furnishings.
DFS.
There you go. At least I'm discreet enough to pick a corner.
Yeah. People can't really see what's going on. Have you ever had a holiday romance? This is obviously a safe space, obviously, before your husband. But, you know, when you were younger, was you one that fell in love with a waiter or, you know, the boy on the beach?
No, I didn't. But I do remember being in Rome with my university flatmates, and two of us, we went to Italy. We lived with an Italian girl. This is when I was in Leeds University, and we all went away in the summer. And I do remember two of us then went to Rome. We'd gone to Venice, and then two of us went to Rome.
Nice.
And we saw these lovely army guys on the train with these lovely berets. And I still have pictures of us in their berets.
Oh, how lovely. I love Italians. Now, is this true that you make cocktails?
So this is Wikipedia. So I was a cocktail barmaid when I was a student in Leeds.
All right, love. The way it said on Wikipedia was like, you're going to come round here throwing that shaker and cutting up some limes.
I could flare.
Is that what it's called, a flare?
Yeah, you flare when you're throwing up the bottles. I could do that, but you need to have rubber mats.
Can we just clear this?
Actually, a rubber mat is good in all aspects of life.
It is. Yes. Especially when you were on holiday with street food. Mm-hmm. No, the hotel food. So let's just have a Wikipedia clear out. Okay. Are you a classic jazz trumpeter?
I used to play the jazz trumpet.
Okay, well, that's right. But you're not some cocktail guru.
No, I can make a good cocktail. And I was at one point able to do loads
the whole
of
lot. But they made out that you'll be like, flaring, to quote you. And then, you know,
that was when
stick
I was
an
20.
Umbrella in my cup of tea or something.
That was when I was 26 years ago.
Oh, okay. What was your favourite cocktail?
Oh, I used to love making a brain hemorrhage because they look fantastic.
Oh, okay.
So that's like peach snaps, and then you float Baileys on top, and it's in a little shot glass, and then you drop grenadine in, so it looks like there's a little bleeding brain floating in your drink. So I used to love the look of those. B-52s, Kahlua, Baileys, and a little bit of, it's like triple sec or something on top. And so they look great. But if now I were to have, I was introduced, see, you've got me onto booze now, I can talk forever. In Manchester, I was introduced to the Porn Star Martini.
Oh,
now,
yes.
They're fantastic.
I love them.
Who doesn't like a shot of Prosecco beside any drink, of course? Mm. Now, I would probably have...
I don't like, in Porn Star Martinis, I don't like, what's that thing they put in the top?
Half a passion fruit.
Yeah, and I'm like, it keeps sort of getting in the way of the alcohol, and I keep having
You pick it out and you scoop it out and then you put it to the side.
Oh, I keep mine in. It's like when you have a cup of tea and leave the tea bag in.
Yeah, it's like, exactly like
I couldn't get to the alcohol. It was like, this is perfect for people trying to like be sober.
A good porn star martini comes with a teaspoon and a shot of Prosecco.
Oh, no, I've had it where it comes with a Prosecco. What about espresso martinis?
Love an espresso martini.
Yeah.
I don't actually...
Dangerous, though.
Yeah. But, you know, if you're out on a cocktail night, what do you expect? Mm. I don't actually really like sweet drinks.
Oh.
So
Martini?
Dirty martini. Gin martini.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
controversial.
I'm not a vodka martini girl. I'm a gin martini girl.
So sometimes after some golfing, you get to the 19th hole and you say, can I have two brain hemorrhages and a porn star martini?
And the rest.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. We will be serving hot beverages, tea, coffee, soft drinks, and brain hemorrhages.
Have you ever been anywhere that's on your travels, maybe sometimes with work, where there's been a bit of an atmosphere and energy there that you've really loved?
I remember going to Caen in France and Sur-la-Mer to talk to veterans about the D-Day landings. It was the 75th anniversary commemoration of the D-Day landings. And it's very rare these days that news gets to go out on location, budgets and, you know, et cetera, et cetera. And I was very fortunate to be sent to this. So we took the breakfast sofa out and I met some brilliant veterans. And I'd like to think that I'm not someone who gets emotionally affected by stories, because my job is to facilitate the story, nothing else. I'm not the story, I facilitate it. I help someone tell a really interesting tale. And when you're sitting there, when you're sitting on this sofa on a beach waiting for this amazing commemoration and this, there was a ceremony and then there was a monument that was being constructed, which has just been completed actually. But you hear the stories of how young men and women were basically being thrown to their deaths in the sea. And you see them reliving that. And whenever you tell something you've experienced, you see it visually. You can't help it. And you see those images in their eyes and you see the fear and the emotion. And can you imagine being like 16, 17 years old and not knowing if you're going to be alive in the next hour?
Yeah.
And just the noise and the fear and the smoke and the smells that you'll never forget. That for me, and it was so tranquil.
Mm.
The sun was out, you know, when we were filming this, but it took you back to a time that you couldn't imagine.
Yeah.
That's something that has never left me and shouldn't.
No, no. And I remember watching that and then... didn't the man say, you know, called him a hero? He said, I'm not a hero, I'm lucky, all the heroes are dead. And it was like real choke.
Yeah, it was, and I did choke.
Yeah.
But, you know, we are human and grateful.
Yes, yeah. It's funny that, you know, you said places that have a vibe and an energy. I remember going to Antigua and, you know, Devil's Bridge, where the slaves, when they'd had enough, would just go there and jump and commit suicide into the... into the waters, and it's like you know, it looks like paradise, but there is something there. You feel chills, and it's something, and you like, you know, it's funny how a place can retain some of that energy, that negative energy, and it just feels something. I don't feel easy here.
No, and there are so many places like that, I think, but it's a privilege, isn't it? How lucky are we to go and experience and hear that history, because it's the only way.
Yeah.
The only way to kind of get a feel and see how it shapes a country.
Now, does Naga complain?
Yes.
Oh, good. I'm glad that, because we get a lot of people on it. Oh, no, I'm happy. I'm happy having skid marks on the hotel sheets. No. But I mean, what's your biggest complaint? Travel-wise, I don't like to talk about, like, queuing in shops. I mean, I want proper...
Are you talking plane or hotel or...?
It can be anything, love. I'll start it up because I'm not throwing you under the bus. I hate a smoky room where it says no smoking and there's smoke in there.
Yeah, with you. I have and will always ask for to be changed, the room
good
to be changed.
Good for you.
Always. And I do stand my ground. I always do it very politely.
Oh, yeah.
I don't think there's anything wrong with complaining if you do it politely and respectfully.
And in dungarees.
Well, that would just say it. I'd be upgraded, obviously, in these dungarees, wouldn't I?
Oh, of course you would.
cleanliness. Can't bet. You get put in some hotels when you're working. You get put in some hotels where you don't want to put your feet on the carpet and things like that.
No.
Can't bear things like that. Dirt. Yeah, I am a bit of a clean freak. I do take, you know, cleaning wipes and things like that when I go.
Yeah.
And bad food. There's nothing worse than bad food.
No.
Nothing. So, and I will send, food back.
Because I think with hotels, that's the one thing. That is your one job.
Yes.
Give me a room that is nice and clean. That's it.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
If I haven't got a sea view, it doesn't really matter.
Nope.
But if it's minging, then the...
Absolutely. No, I'm with you. And I just think if you are going to complain, complain nicely. Also, equally though, if service is good, say it.
Yes.
But the world we're in at the moment, people are so ready to complain. But if something's good... Say it. Let people know they're doing something really well and you appreciate it.
Yeah, that's great. Yeah. On a flight, what kind of a traveller are you on the flight? Now, listen, this is a good test. Say it's only 45 minutes an hour. Will you still put your seat back? Because, you know, there are people who do that and you're like, come on, love, you ain't going to have a kip.
Well, this is where you're wrong.
Oh, no. You're one of those people.
As soon as the engines go on, I'm asleep. The only thing that will then wake me up is the drinks trolley. And then I sleep until landing.
Who orders the brain hemorrhage?
And then I sleep. I'm one of those really annoying people.
But do you put the seat back?
If I'm sitting in economy, no. Not for a short flight.
Oh, that's not a shame. Because I can't stand that.
No. I mean, if I'm lucky enough...
Do you have those neck braces?
I have done.
Yeah.
I have done. Sleep is very important, Alan.
All right.
I get up at stupid o'clock a lot.
I suppose so, yeah.
Yeah. So when you can get it... I mean, that's a rule in life anyway, really. When you can get it, take it.
Okay, like we're going to finish now. So now
we're bored of me already.
No.
This was like the shortest flight ever.
Well, I mean, listen, but that's how long we go for, isn't it? It's always like 30, 35 minutes.
You bring new meaning to the word short haul.
Oh, it is. Well, I've got two more questions. What's been your biggest letdown? It doesn't have to be a country or anything. Is there any place you've been that's like a bit, we don't want to name and shame, but any, or you've been quite lucky?
I'm always lucky to go somewhere new. Where would I? Well, Mauritius, which sounds awful.
Yeah.
Sounds so ungrateful.
But you had a gammy leg. That's not Mauritius's fault.
No, it's not. It's absolutely not. So I was my biggest letdown there. How's
Barnacles.
That? How's that? Biggest letdown. Probably somewhere, and I can't think of somewhere now, where I was stuck in a hotel room and there was nothing to do. No. Probably something like that.
Okay. What's on your holiday bucket list? Where haven't you been that you're just gagging to go once this madness is over and we all finally get put on the green list?
Oh, Iceland.
Yes.
Desperate to see the Northern Lights. Desperate to go to Iceland.
Yeah.
Where else would I like to go? I do like going somewhere hot. I've got so many. You know, I do this thing where every couple of years I go away for a month.
All right.
So I try to see. So my last...
Didn't you go to Japan?
Yeah, it was amazing. Amazing. Oh. That's one of the best places on earth.
Yeah.
Best places on earth. Great people.
And I bet the food's great as well.
Amazing. Most expensive meal I ever had was in Japan. I'm not going to say how much it cost, but it was ridiculous.
Yeah, yeah.
But it was stunning.
Scorpion? Absolutely.
No. Did get ridiculous at one point, though.
The trouble with that scorpion thing, I know people are going to go there and go, you know, like we have with chips. Double cooked chips, triple cooked. Yeah, it's going to be triple cooked scorpion, and people are going to try and outdo each other. This poor scorpion's going to be dipped in again, isn't
it? But it's there. It's street food in China. It's not considered that unusual. It's just like a little snack, like picking up a lollipop or something.
Mexico's like that. We've
never been.
Oh, you'd love it there. They come round with the old crickets. You just eat them. You eat
I've eaten a cricket.
Dry roasted nuts. Eat them like that in the bar, at crickets.
I've eaten crickets. Yeah. When you're coming round to dinner. And here, monsieur, is your insect platter. With the latest trendy grubs.
You should go on I'm a Celebrity. You'd be like, yum, this is all delicious.
I really wouldn't. No, not alive. I'm not going to eat anything alive.
No, okay.
No.
I thought
jellyfish. I really liked jellyfish when I ate jellyfish in China.
Oh, what's wrong with you?
Why would you
eat a jellyfish? Do you know what? I was on holiday. Someone said, this is when I had the bad shits. Urchins, sea urchins. They're just not meant to be eaten.
Oh, come on. You can say that about anything. It's how they're cooked. Jellyfish was gorgeous. Shredded. Beautiful.
Does it taste like jelly?
Yeah, a little bit.
Oh.
Yeah, really lovely.
Can you imagine if it tastes like Percy Pig?
Do you eat sushi?
Yeah, I love sushi.
Oh, so you're not far off.
Okay.
Are you? Really?
Okay, next time I'll go to Yo Sushi, I'll ask for the...
I don't think jellyfish is on the Yo Sushi
menu. There's a jellyfish going round on that conveyor belt, flaying around with its little tentacles. Okay, and you're 100 years old, you're in a rocking chair doing your knitting. Where in the world do you want to be sitting there looking out at? Ideal location.
Somewhere I've never been. But I think I'd like to be somewhere like the Outer Hebrides.
Oh.
And I'd like to look out at a dramatic sea and have some beautiful views and a wild sky.
Oh, That's lovely.
Mm. As long as I'm warm.
Yeah, have you been to the Outer Hebrides?
No, I know it's cold.
I went up there on my tour last year.
Or a mountain in Japan or New Zealand or Chile.
Oh, Chile's on my bucket list.
Chile's amazing.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Amazing. Bolivia, now there's a place. There's a place. It is, you can barely breathe because of altitude sickness.
Yes.
But you go to the salt plains, unbelievable. Mm. Just see white for miles, nothing.
Because look at this book here, Conquistadors. Mm. I want to do that because they've got all the, is it Aztec or Incas? I always get mixed up.
Incas,
the way they went up there and that the spine of Chile. I'd love to do that.
Peru, that was a little bit disappointing.
Really? Machu Picchu?
Yeah, a little bit disappointing. Oh. A bit too touristy. You asked if there was somewhere that
disappointed. No, yeah. All right, well, listen, you can't have everything, love.
No, and I'm grateful. I'm not complaining.
No, good.
This is your captain speaking. We are on our final approach to our destination. Cabin crew, get ready for landing. Cabin crew, get ready for landing.
Right, we're just about to land, so we've got time now for the quick fire round, okay?
Yes, please.
Mojito or mint tea?
Mojito.
Nudist or not on your Nelly?
Nudist.
Oh my God, Naga.
I'm very lucky that I do spend a lot of time naked.
I'm so prudish.
Tell me all about your prostate. You're not that prudish. Honestly, well, I've
people
got
want to hear about
my
prostate.
I've got images of having to eat off your prostate. Promise me, jellyfish, scorpion.
Well, it'll taste gourmet. Better than a bloody scorpion, I'll tell you that for nothing. Well, I'm very proud of my prostate.
Let me not volunteer to find out if it does, eh?
Hammock or honeymoon suite?
Hammock.
A la carte or street food, but we know the answer.
Street food.
Street food all the way. Tip 'em or fuck 'em, which means that, you know, when you've had good service all week. And then
I am glad you're explaining this.
Yeah. We won't mention one guest. Fuck. I haven't explained it yet. It's like, you know, when you have a good service all week, and then there are some people who don't tip them because they go, I'm not tipping them because I'll never see them again. They're the worst kind of people.
That's disgusting.
Yeah, I think it is. I always tip. Do you tip?
Yes.
Thank you.
But I also will not tip if the service is not good, and I will explain why I'm not tipping.
Good for you.
I am very awkward to go on holiday with.
Oh, dear. Yeah. I bet when you were your gammy leg in Mauritius, I bet you were a nightmare, weren't you?
Of course not. I was sweetness and light.
She gives me a steely glare. Thank you so much, Naga.
Thank you, Alan. It's been delightful.
Oh, thank you.
Can I just say, you need to brush up the library a bit. It's a little bit dusty.
Okay, please don't complain.
Also, Alan, I do think I should have had a second glass of fizz. You weren't very attentive in that way.
Okay, well, why don't you go on TripAdvisor and put it there? Because they might give a shit.
Already done, darling.
I know that's like, because there's no Wi-Fi on this plane. Ha ha! It's like been like a play. I've loved it. Next week we'll be doing Macbeth.
Hubble, toil and trouble.
Thank you so much.
Thank you, Alan.
Thank you for flying Alan Air.
Thank you to the lovely Naga. Please subscribe to my podcast, Life's a Beach, if you love it. And please, unlike Naga, give it a good rating. I don't know none of that bad shit.
Hello, Alan Davis here, inviting you to join me by listening to a new podcast, Seven Pillars. Each episode, I'll be talking to a famous guest to discuss seven significant cultural influences, inspirations, or experiences. Seven things that help shape them, that they loved, or that they return to again and again and hold a special place in their life. From films and music, books, food, places, and memories, the podcast asks seven questions that will spark stories for the guests and give the listener an insight into the minds and passions of some of the most interesting comedians, actors, writers, philosophers, and raconteurs around. Starting with comedian Romesh Ranganathan in episode 1, which is out now. And in the coming weeks, we have Hollywood actor Walton Goggins, comedy legend Joe Brand, author and intellectual heavyweight Jay Perini, and many more. You can find the show by searching Seven Pillars on all podcast platforms.